ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here for Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
What's up, everybody? I'm back, baby.
Yep, he is back, and he sucks for what he did this week. And that right there is Mr. PRZ Brent.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
That's okay. That's like my best.
Yeah, PRZ. I'm a terrible guy. I'm awful. I'm a terrible guy. I shared this. I'm awful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he sent us a video of beautiful women, and Joe's complaining. Just yeah. It makes you think.
It was okay. First of all, it's the song that gets stuck in my head that makes me mad. It's quite possibly the worst Europe song.
Oh, come on, dude. Rock the Night is not the worst Europe song.
So those ladies were playing a song. That part of it didn't register with me.
I'm not even going to lie. This is a sign.
I was busy watching the high heels.
There's a keyboard player playing high heels. With no pedals. That's how come. The girl that was singing was kind of hot. But it's the song that aggravated me.
You're too academic, Joe.
you sent the video, and I click on it because I have no idea. I didn't even read it. I just click on the video, and it's rock. And then when I stop watching it, I'm like, rock now, wreck fucker.
So anyway, the band's called Big Deal, and they're a Frontiers Records band that's releasing their debut album in a couple of months. And they've done a couple of cover things, and I figured I'd send you guys a cover song, because if I send you an original song, you may not know kind of what to compare it to, and you know, you can't get an idea of, you know, are they just kind of in their bang zone, or can they do other things? You know, I didn't know Rock the Night was going to be such an issue.
If you do have a video of those ladies in their bang zone, send that.
I am shocked to hear Brent talk like this. Have you been drinking?
Sonny teed it up too perfectly, man. Come on.
Shocked by this. Mr. Brent, what is happening? That's all right. Thank you guys for coming here to Podcast Rock City Live, where we talk about our favorite band, Kiss. And you guys, if you're listening or watching live, you can comment during the show. If you're listening on iTunes or whatever, thanks, man. Don't forget that if you're watching on YouTube right now, or even if you're not, and you want to, go to our YouTube page and, follow, hit the bell, subscribe, whatever the hell they say. But do that. Man, in the past, 2 months, we've had 77 new subscribers. That is amazing for us, considering we don't advertise.
Word of mouth
is it. That's it. And also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/podcastrockcity. We're doing that for a little while longer. And we do an after the show. And we also do all kinds of video and stuff during the month, and articles that I've written, and all kinds of little notes. And you should check it out. And now that that's done, let's go ahead and get to the news. Were you going to say something, Sonny? All right, then let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
I got nothing.
You got no news.
There's no Kiss news. We're waiting. We have a show coming up in April, right?
Supposedly, yeah.
I think we're supposed to have a show in April. So they're kind of like radio silent, sort of. Sonny, you said you saw Gene on the Adam Carolla show.
Yeah, about an hour interview looked like. Same things, right? Gene's talking about growing up, struggling, his mom, his relationship with his dad. I mean, it was like basically like reading his book again. And then at the end, he takes a shot at the Who. He takes a shot at the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones one was huge because he's like, well, I wish I could be Keith Richards. You know, he's just up there with a guitar and he strums when he feels like it, or he doesn't. Ron Wood is there, so it doesn't matter. Jeez. And it's like, oh my God.
Old people are funny.
Yeah. Gene got cranky, huh?
I remember my grandpa used to say shit out of the blue, too. I mean, that's really what he is now, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's not a grandpa yet, but, you know. It's like, I love Gene, but now listen, here's the thing. Before I ever did Podcast Rock City with a group of people, well, it started with a group of people. They all quit on me because they didn't like Tommy Thayer. Bum, bum, ba-dum, wow. Anyway, and look what happened. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. And I did a show on, does Gene talk too much? So if you don't know whether, if you want to know my opinion, go back into our catalog on iTunes, look it up. It's just me on that show. It was before Jody and before Sonny and before Andrew Kiss and before D-Rock and even before Brent and Joey. So check that out. And I'm not going to tell you what I said, but I think you have a good idea. Brent, you saw a couple of things, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really call any of it news. We had a fun little anniversary, Frehley's Comet's second sighting album, 34 years old, which makes us officially ancient. but yeah, so that came out this week, I think on the 24th, so just a few days ago. And just a dumb article, but a fun one on Metal Sucks. They had like the, you know, something like the 12 most embarrassing albums that everybody owns. And they were things like Rob Zombie's remix album and the Spawn soundtrack and stuff like that. And of course,
oh man, I just got done watching the Spawn movie.
All right.
I'm not even kidding. Well, all right, sorry, keep going.
No, and Kiss was well represented with Psycho Circus on there as wow. An album that everyone got excited about and bought despite it sucking. The only other thing I saw was Ace talking about how, and it's not, I don't think it's really completely new news, but saying that he wouldn't do another Kiss cruise, that he did it for the money and for the fans, but the band treated him really strangely. And this I actually hadn't heard before, but maybe you guys had. They paid him $15,000 not to mingle with fans on the boat and not to participate in any panels. Like they paid him extra to do less work, which sounds like it should be right up Ace's alley. And he took the money, but it evidently it irked him because I think the quote was something like, I'm very funny. Why don't they want me to talk to people? They're afraid of what I might say. But he was kind of like, I'm a people person. People like me. Why are you paying me money to shut up? So he was like,
I'm confused by this.
Why is that?
I'm looking for it right here, but I guess. Okay. So I can't find it right now. I'm caught a little off guard, but that's okay. He did a panel.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, you know how I know?
You were there. You asked a question.
I asked a question. Yeah. I was chosen. Everybody had to ask, you know, to put in their questions, and I was chosen. I was actually chosen for multiple panels. I'm pretty sure Keith LaRue, if he is involved, saw my name. I don't know. I made that shit up. But I remember my question. It was like, what was your favorite guitar, and do you still have it? And they each told their thing, and Ace, of course, did not have his anymore.
I'm looking at a screenshot I took of the article, and it says they never took him to dinner. They never told him thank you. They never, you know, they did their thing and jumped off the boat and ran away from him. But this is a quote. It says they actually paid me $15,000 not to do a Q&A. And this is the most telling thing about the screenshot. I just referenced that. Second sighting being 34 years old means we're ancient. At the top of the screenshot, I can see just the bottom of an ad for whatever was above this article. about Kiss, and it says something of whatever the product they were advertising claims to be an excellent source of fiber.
Nice.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be for like ED or something like that.
That's probably the ad below the article.
See, I don't have that problem.
The problem with the cruise is, first of all, you have no idea what Ace is going to say. So you can't just let him say whatever, because there's no getting away from it. He's not going anywhere. Because the cruise is, everybody's on the boat, and that's how it is. He gets out there, starts mingling with the fans. None of the other guys are going to do that. Right? So then the other guys in a weird
spot. It's a smart move on their part, but it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm super disappointed he doesn't remember getting a question from me.
At the end of the article, I didn't do a Q&A, but if I had, I know Joe would have had a, a stinger. So it's all good.
Fuck yeah.
I still remember the Q&A in Indy and that guy raising his hand. Hey, do you remember me? 1979, I handed you a CD. Did you ever listen to it? It's like, dude, what?
Yeah, the best part was you and I were standing like right behind him, maybe 30 feet. And I know that if Ace could have looked past that guy and saw you and I, we were both like, fuck.
At least he didn't ask him, when are you playing in my hometown next?
Yeah. When are you coming to somewhere? It's just right. One of those things. It's right. Just, no, listen, don't, if you're watching and you were that guy, don't take it personally. It's just, you, of course he doesn't remember any of us. You would have to do something so stupendous for him to remember. It would have to be like me showing up with him painted on my belly, with his mouth being my belly button, and I would have lifted up my shirt and been like, shock me, make me feel better.
Guaranteed somebody's already done that.
You think?
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. That's got Europe with written something all over it. Somebody in Europe already did that. Trust me. Germany or something.
I don't know. I think you're messing with me. No. Hello to everybody hello to our online family. It's good to see you guys. We love you! It's like I always say the same thing, which I never say. And that is thank you. I always say thank you. Thank you for being here. Man, I got to say one other thing. I'm pretty sure that they thanked Ace for being there on stage while they were playing with him. I'm just saying.
And I'm pretty sure they gave him a check.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big thank you.
And did they say thank you when he was touring with them in 96 and 98? And like, did they go to dinner with him then? Probably not.
I don't know. I don't want to go anywhere. No, I'm not. I'm just not going to go there. How about that? Sometimes I even stop. I, Joe, can stop. And I'll say anything. Just... anyway.
I'll tell you something about Second Sighting that I am positive that Brent does not agree with. What's so that? I'm listening to the album the first time I heard it, and I was like, insane, a couple songs, When it got to Time Ain't Running Out and it's over now, I was like, oh my God, this stuff is awesome. Too bad somebody else isn't doing it because it would actually sell some copies.
You're such a jackass.
Dude, late 80s, that is number one hit written all over it, if it's a Bon Jovi song.
It's so crazy because somebody had just wrote Second Sucking is more like it.
Well, actually, in the post I saw this week, I actually did not know that Dancing with Danger was a cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steelheart. Yeah, so, and that.
Yeah.
Steelheart,
yeah,
right? Streetheart.
Yeah. Streetheart. Yeah. I probably knew it at one point when I was doing the radio show, just had forgotten. So
I think that's Jim Vallance is one of the co-writers.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
All right. Just a programming note for you guys. Next week I will be out, but Sonny and Brent and Joey will be here. I'm going to teach Brent how to run the show. Wait, and
where are you going to be next week?
Next Sunday, I'm going to be Disney World.
No, that's where Sonny goes. Where are we going?
No, he goes to Disneyland. I'm going to Disney World. It's spring break, man. I do the same thing every year. Now, I'm not going to be on the show, but the other three guys are going to hold it down with you guys, and it'll be great. And I'm sure the topic will be way more thought out than any shit I ever come up with, because I do it like the day before.
Hey, okay. Brett, tell people about the stuff that you saw. What was that, at Rocket Fizz?
Oh, well, hang on. Before I do that, Joe, you realize next week I'm supposed to be sitting next to you.
No. We talked about this. I'm going to be out of town, and I'll be back the next Sunday, and that's when we're going to do it.
Okay.
I got it. We got it.
Just leave the key under the mat, and I'll be in the Kiss room there with you.
Oh, you can stay here. Just feed Lola.
Open everything. Open all the copies of Elder, all the copies of Killer.
Play them all. Play them all.
I'm going to tell you.
Chew all the gum. Stick all the stickers.
Yeah. There are certain things you don't know. I have a missile hidden that could – it. All I have to do is put in your coordinates. Boom.
I saw the password that opens the door when I went in there last time.
So. That's right. You've been here. I forget.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Let's go ahead. This topic of the week was –
Wait, let him tell about the Rocket Fizz thing.
Oh, the Rocket Fizz. My bad. Go ahead.
So for those of you who don't know, because I think it's a franchise, I might be national.
Yeah.
Rocket Fizz is like a nostalgia candy soda pop, old time, you know, toys like wind up chattering teeth and stuff like that. Shop that they have, like it might be in the mall or someplace like that, and they've got a few of them here in Houston, and I was at one last night, and they also sell concert posters, like Bandit Bill type concert posters, and tin signs, like, you know, the etched tin signs and printed tin signs. And I sent the guys a picture of one of the concert posters that they had, concert bills they had there, and it was a Creatures Tour photo, and at the top it said Kiss Dynasty Tour, and I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? And so I sent it to everybody, and within 2 minutes Sonny comes back with a photo from the tour archives book of, like, there's not even a show on the date listed on that poster. it's complete bullshit.
Unbelievable. It's like, but you gotta do is slap their face on something and some dumbass will buy it.
That's right.
Well, it's a great, makeup photo, and, you know, good shot of Vinny and Eric Carr in there, so that was nice. But they had two or three other posters like that. They did have a poster from the Tiger Stadium show from the reunion launch. They had 3 or 4 metal signs with different designs on them. I sent you guys some pictures of that. It was pretty cool. This is a place that did sell the Kiss sodas and Gene money bag sodas. I don't even know if any of those are a thing anymore. I think they probably just have sold out and they don't still do them. But
really? If anybody needs them, I got $50 a bottle.
Got cases, got them right. And cases. No, but it was pretty funny because I asked the guy, I was like, hey, do you have any, you have the Kiss soda? And he's like, yeah, we do. He takes me over points of this thing. And it's a grapefruit soda. The name of the soda is Kiss. It's nothing to do with the band. That's pretty good. Yeah, right there. So,
it says Kiss on it. Without it being the logo, and I knew it wasn't a Kiss soda, obviously, but I was gonna be like, that is a super rare Kiss soda.
I know you wanted it anyway.
I need to put it in my room. Right. Yeah, we have a Rocket Fizz here in the Marietta Square.
Nice.
And when Brent is here in town, we'll go there and we'll get some candy and
some Rowdy Roddy Piper bubblegum soda.
Hell yeah. It is delicious.
Yep.
I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Hey, did I ever tell you guys that I sat in on a panel of the cast of that movie and I even got to ask Roddy Piper a question?
Sweet. I love that movie.
That movie is so great.
Yeah.
Wait, Sonny. What movie are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. But with
Piper in the movie, I don't even want to know.
You've never seen They Live?
It's classic. It's a John Carpenter movie. Meg Foster. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Keith
First
David.
Of all, John Carpenter at the top crosses an X on all movies.
Oh, okay. Joe, you can mute him, right?
I know how. Yeah. All right. I know this isn't a movie. I know this isn't a movie podcast, but I'll tell you the most interesting thing was they mentioned that movie came out. It was number one for 2 weeks. But what happened was it kind of bashed on the government. It was kind of like a 1984
capitalist kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cast was like, they called us the first week, we're number one. They called us the second week, we're number one. They called us the third week, yeah, we've been yanked out of all the theaters. Just saying, that's kind of creepy. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
Okay, so there was some controversy with this topic because when I asked everybody that was online on Facebook, please put these records in order, I did not put in smashes, thrashes, and hits. So, Sonny, is it in your list?
Yeah, but I could take it out. Doesn't matter.
No, it's okay.
Brent, it makes it an even 10, so that's good.
Wait. Hold on. 10? What am I missing?
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Sonny, we need to help.
Oh, no, I got 10. Never mind.
Okay. 10 is the number with the 1 and then the 0?
Yeah, smartass. Fuck you.
All right.
All right. So thank you guys for tuning in. I see that some of you have already posted some of your picks. Thank you very much. If you're on the YouTube channel or on Facebook, you can see what people are posting. I'll usually mention like the number ones. Alex VC posted Lick It Up, number one, Revenge, number two. Oh, you don't know how wrong you are, Alex. Let's how are we gonna do this? 10-1, right?
Sure.
And I'll start. Yes,
sure.
Number 10 for me, Smashes. And then there's nothing.
You're supposed to say something.
I was expecting you to go, what the hell is wrong with you? It gets 0 based. It goes to 10 based on that stupid Eric Carr cover and the fact that they took out all the fun and I Love It Loud.
Okay.
No, you don't think so? The kick drum was just.
Sonny, what do you got for 10? Like,
I've got Carnival of Souls for 10 for the main fact that all the songs suck.
And you don't know how wrong you are.
Because all the songs suck.
Oh, my God. All right, Joe, we're going to partner up on this one, man.
Yes.
Smashes, Thrashes, and Shit is number 10. Everything list that I can list in 1 through 9, I may not love it, but I at least like it. I can't stand Smashes. X and Sex. Rock Hard, the re-recording of Beth, the remixing of the class. Just no. Don't do it. Take that CD. Take that Jengoku Retsuden CD, that second disc from Sonic Boom. Super glue them together and Ooh. Flush it down the toilet.
Man, Why? What kind of toilet do you have? Mine down that.
So now that we know that the ladies from The Deal are listening, can you do a version of X and Sex and You Make Me Rock Hard so I can send these guys the video?
Yeah, but can you? Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry. All right, Sonny.
No, they play good songs.
Rock now, rock tonight. Look, I am. I used my very special, my notebook that lights up, Kiss. You guys can't see it if you're just
good
listening,
Lord.
But you've seen this before.
Sweet.
Like, isn't that beautiful? Put it above my head and I can dance like Paul. Don't forget, if you're enjoying the show, hit that like button or heart button or whatever the hell. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Number 9 is Alive 3. And look, here's the thing. When it first came out, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie, but it just, you can tell it's phony and fake. All of the crowd sounds fake. Paul's raps aren't any good to me. When we play this one, the place lights up like, oh God, God, please move on. I'm super glad that we get a live album with Eric Singer in it and Bruce Kulick in it. I think that that's great. Their playing is great. And there's a lot of good songs on the record, but it loses me with the fake crowd, really fake crowd noise, and the raps are just not any good. Sonny?
Sonny.
I put Hot in the Shade at number 9. And the reason I did it, too long and too lazy. Right? They should have actually maybe produced the record instead of
should have finished it before they released it.
Yeah, yeah. And I go back to it every once in a while, but I only go back to about half of it.
Wow. Okay. That's all right. I mean, I think that's completely fair. It's, it is a really long record. Really long.
Short on quality. Short on quality, long on track listing. I got Unplugged at 9.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hang up on him. Okay. Just hang up on him.
I am going to explain myself, okay?
All right.
And that is, I don't ever think of Unplugged as an album. Like, let me sit down and listen to this album. I watched the video, that's how I first saw it. I didn't encounter Unplugged first as an album. It's not something I listen to driving in my car. I sit down and watch it on TV. So it just is, it doesn't quite sit as an album for me. I don't know. I know that may make no sense to anybody, but that's okay. I'm going to say a lot of things tonight that make no sense to anyone but me.
Wow.
Wow. Unplugged is like Superman. Carnival of Souls are like Bizarro. And I don't
well, that's true, but I love Bizarro.
Oh, good
I love Lord. Bizarro.
I like Bizarro too because he talks like this. okay, so my number 8 is Unplugged.
Oh my God.
It just doesn't do for me what the other records do. And one of my biggest problems is when it first came out, I really enjoyed it a lot. But now when I listen to it, since I saw the video and how much they screwed up, and it's like, I listened to the thing and I'm like, wow, this wasn't this is another phony thing. So, that's just how I feel. Sorry, there's a lot of hate mail coming. Podcast, yeah. RockCity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. See how you were ready, like a trigger, whatever you were going. Podcast, RockCity1, that's the number one at gmail.com. And, oh, by the way, I got an email this week. Why is Joe always wearing a hoodie? Because I'm in my basement, and it's cold. And even in the summer, it's cold. I'm underground. And outside right now, it's only like 40 degrees, which isn't screaming cold, but it's cold. And I'm cold, so get over it. Anyway, okay, Sonny, your number 8 is going to be what? Lick It Up.
I'm kidding. No. Okay. My number 8 is Alive 3. And that's just, I love the set list, but I rarely go to it. Because I just don't listen to Alive 1, 2, or 3 that much. I rather listen to the studio records, to be honest. But I do love the set list, and I love that we have a Bruce and Singer Alive album. And, of course, I would rather have an Eric Carr Alive album. But that was my number 8.
Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all like to have an Eric Carr Alive album, Sonny? Okay. I wonder if there's anybody out there that has the power to put out a soundboard recording. Of Eric Carr.
They could have a
just don't make it Virginia Beach.
Would be interesting.
all right.
So Alive 3 becomes the first record that all three of us have named. It's my number 8 too. It's a good live album, but when you put Alive on there with Kiss, it's got to be a mind bender like 1 and 2 were, and this is nothing like that. I love that they start off the show with Creatures, and that, you know, Bruce has his anthem jam, and we need a live record from that period, but this was not all that exciting.
Agreed. Number 7 for me is Crazy Nights. I like the album, but I like everything after the other ones better. And then the order is crazy. I'll tell you this, you guys that have been putting what goes where, I can't believe some. Javier has Revenge at number 8. I'm surprised by that. And somebody had Asylum like really early. I was really Asylum at number 8.
At number 8.
Powell. Yeah. Wow, Christopher, that's wow. He's going on how it looks, maybe. I don't know. I listened to that bad boy in the shower today. There's a visual for you.
Wow.
Come on, wow. Today.
You are.
I'm feeling alive.
My 7 is Smashes. And I remember I really liked Crazy Nights. I'm turning almost 19 at the time, and Smashes came out, and I loved X and Sex and Rock Hard right out of the gate. It fit everything else I was listening to, and I know it wasn't all the music that Brent was listening to, but it was all the music I was listening to.
It's cool.
And it fit, and I thought it took balls for Eric to do Beth, so I was good with it. But when it comes to the other 6 that are left, I go to it a lot less compared to the other 6 that are left.
I can't believe that they had such huge balls as to have Eric Carr sing that song. It just...
When he didn't want to.
Yeah, he didn't want to sing it. And, I mean, I just... When I listen to that, I have, like, Sonny, 5 copies of this record. And one of them is the gatefold, you know, with the picture disc. And I got that at, like, a Hot in the Shade tour. And... As soon I cannot skip that song on vinyl because I can't stand how the kick drum to me sounds like he's playing inside a bathroom. I Love It Loud should have monster drums. If you're not going to release it that way, don't release it at all. Just saying. Who's next?
I got number 7 for me. So here come the hair metal records.
All right.
Hot in the Shade is my least favorite of the hair metal albums. For pretty much exactly the reason Sonny said, they're better quality than demos, but it's not a finished album. I do love that Eric gets a song. And I like Rise to It, Hide Your Heart, but I'm a little bit of a fan of Forever. I probably don't ever have to hear it again, but I mean, the song's okay, but Read My Body, ouch. That's rough.
Robert Dunning, if you want a copy of Animalize Live Uncensored on CD, just go on eBay. It's there. I actually have it, and you know who gave it to me? Brent. I'm just saying.
Jeez, call me out.
Official release. It was like 3 CDs and this gatefold thing you gave me, and that was one. And the Paul's raps are longer on it than we are used to seeing on the video, which is pretty cool. All right, so my number 6 is Hot in the Shade. And the reason it's number 6, first of all, I love the singles. I do. I think that they're great. And I like a bunch of the songs that weren't singles, but it is just long. I remember sitting with my mom, and there was I think Rise 2, it was the first video, wasn't it? Anyway, then the second single came out, and I remember looking at my mom and going, I think Kiss is about to break up. And she said, why? And I said, they used the word Tito in a song. I was like, the minute they use Tito, I don't think that's what. And then years later, that's when I found out, well, you know, it was something a bunch of people, you know, that everybody recorded. And I still don't like Ace's version either, though. Let's see.
Problem with Rise to It was that slide guitar at the beginning. And I remember thinking, I just chucked the Cinderella record out the window. And here we go again.
Long Cold Winter? Are we talking about?
God, I hate
my God.
I hate it. Because I love Night Song so much that the minute they became this pseudo blue, I'm just like, what the hell?
Oh my God. We're going to fight.
Right? So then Kiss was doing the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
It was like 10 seconds of slide guitar. All right, Sonny.
My number six is only number six because the other five don't have a murder in high heels. So my number six is Animalize.
Nice. That's a really good record.
That's
though.
The I mean, only reason.
I got Animalize for number six too because, man, Heaven's on Fire, Thrills in the Night, you know, but, you know, Burn, Bitch, Burn. Ouch. That is...
So, man, that is amazing stuff. Because that song is starting to grow on me more as
I love Jean Beauvoir, okay? I'm a huge Plasmatics fan and I love him and you know his voodoo stuff and all of that. And he's great and you know he pops up on a couple of Kiss records and I enjoy that he's on there, but yeah.
No Burn, Bitch, Burn.
No.
All right, number five for me. Somebody call the paramedics for Sonny. It's Revenge. I don't like the scat talking or whatever they call it, and all that. And I like a few of the songs. I like Bruce's playing. This is one of the records where I'm like, his tone for me was dead on. And I don't mean like, I know the best tone for Bruce, but like when I listen to some songs from other guitar players, sometimes the tone just doesn't do it for me. It feels kind of thin and it might've been the popular thing to do. And there's I'm wondering even if he had any say in his tone, because sometimes that they don't, you know, sometimes you'll get a Paul Stanley or somebody like that that'll come in and go.
Or Ron Nevison.
Exactly. I mean, I know even like, I remember Winger in an interview saying, you know, everything was picked for them down to the tone of the guitars and how they dressed. You know, Reb Beach was really open about it. And, but I like Revenge and how the tone is. And that's why it is my number five. Sonny?
The only reason my number five is number five, because the other four albums don't have this shitty song called God Gave Rock and Roll to You. So Revenge is also my number five. It is, besides that one and that whole Car Jam thing, skip it every single time. Those two songs I do not need on there. Just say it's, you know, it's a tribute to Eric Carr. You don't need that crap at the end of the album.
You're not wrong. But it is, yeah, anyway, it's nice that it's there, but you're not wrong. I got Crazy Nights for number five because Crazy Nights and Turn on the Night and other songs with Night in the name and Reason to Live. But Bang Bang You, why does every record from this hair metal period have one or two of these just juvenilely ridiculous songs?
Says because everybody guy, was doing it. That's why.
Says the guy that watched the video didn't hear the music and just looked at high heels. What?
Oh, if they were singing Bang Bang You, he'd be all over that.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh my God.
That's the, they were playing that's the problem. Song? This was Kiss. This was Paul singing Bang Bang You. I do not need to hear that or see it. No, you know, I have, for me, this is just what I'm into. It's my taste. You can take the four hair metal records. There's probably one good CD in there, one great CD in there. And I say CD, not album, because you know, album, you think seven tracks. There's probably like a 12-track CD of like great stuff in those 4 albums. For me, just me. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the cool things about digital media nowadays is we could make that perfect record, you know? And
let's do it.
Huh?
Let's do it.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Right. Let's see. We're at number four, right?
Yeah.
Number fourth greatest unmasked Kiss record for Joe of all time. Everybody focus on Sonny Pooney. Carnival of Souls. I love that record. I love how heavy that record is. I love how, you know, Paul said, I don't know why we're doing the grunge album. We're not miserable and we're not sad or whatever. And what do grunge people sing about after they become rich? I get that. But let me tell you, they pulled the darkest Kiss out musically to me. Just so heavy. And I mean, I remember driving in my car and my buddy from my band, Jacob was in the car and he's like, who is this? It's awesome. And I was like, man, this is Kiss. And he was blown away. He couldn't believe that. I mean, that first song, oh man, it's freaking awesome. I'm just saying. This is a good comment right here. Different, but cool. And Sonny says?
No. Sonny says that Paul didn't want to sing about miserable songs, but he made me miserable instead. Thank you, asshat.
All right, what is yours?
My number four is really only my number four because the other three are almost perfect albums, and that's Crazy Nights. It just doesn't have the punch that the other three have for me. And I don't mind Bang Bang You, to be honest with you. I don't mind When Your Walls Come Down. It's, you know, it's polished. I listen to Crazy Nights all the time. I don't have a problem with it.
It's a good record.
It is a good record. Let's see. Number three. Oh no, Brent, you're up. My bad. Sorry.
Well, it's all right. We'll just close out the hair metal records here. Number four, got Asylum. This is my favorite. I'm saying hair metal. I'm not meaning to offend anybody. That run of Kiss records though. I like Asylum the most, King of the Mountain, Who Wants to Be Lonely. Tears Are Falling. Yes. All Night is on there. We'll just relegate that one to the pit. I know you love it. But Bruce is just searing on the opening track. And, of course, I already said I love Jean Beauvoir. He's on the record, too. And it's my favorite record from that stretch of albums from those four. So,
no, Asylum's awesome. It's like I said, I listened to it today. I won't tell you where again. Let's see. Number three for me is Animalize. I don't have a story like Sonny does with Animalize. Animalize changed his life. The video, right? Changed his life. For me, it was more the second non-makeup album, and I felt like they were continuing with something that was really good. Eric's playing on it. I love his tone on that record, and his tone on Asylum are very close. The drums, it's how his toms sound, blow my mind, and it's just really good.
Animalize always makes me laugh because I think about Jody burning down his barn trying to light a sword on fire or whatever he was trying to do. Right. Where I'm looking at Paul jumping through that hoop and I'm thinking, God, I'm a little big for that hoop. I don't think I could do that. And I just never tried it.
Joe was doing some in front of the mirror bathroom moves, right?
Heck yeah, I was doing that.
Yeah.
Don't get me started, man. As soon as they're in that part in Who Wants to Be Lonely comes up with a little hot, sexy girl in the one-piece black bathing suit that I love so much, does that little hip thrust. Me too.
Well,
there's the visual.
My number three, okay, Jody finally, our, you know, our brother Jody from PRC, he finally convinced me that I maybe like the look of this record and the era more than I love the actual music that's on it, but I do still love Revenge. It has a great vibe. And it, to me, it's, you've got Vinny back in the game with, you know, they're on Unholy. Of course, I got to take a couple points away from him for being involved in I Just Wanna. But yeah, I love that there is some form of tribute on there for Eric. Okay. Might not be favorite track, but it's there. So, you know, for it, it's just, I liked where they were heading. It was like, okay, we're moving out of that phase of the candy metal or what. Yeah, that kind of, it's the Back in the Black. They're, it's getting darker. The leather's cut back. I don't know, man. It just, it was, I was like, this is more my Kiss, even if it is not a fantastic record. So
I've told this story before, but I remember the first like advertisement for it. I saw a picture of Eric Singer.
Oh, right.
And I knew immediately that he was the drummer in Badlands. I knew immediately who he was because I remember watching the video, that one video, and just being blown away by how that guy played drums. And I was so excited that this was the guy that was going to be in Kiss. It was weird to see the blonde hair. You guys think so too?
Yeah, it was weird to see the blonde hair, but Badlands, it wasn't Eric Singer that blew me away. It was Gillan. Dude, that smoky, like, I don't even know how to explain the guy's voice. The guy just screamed like alpha male with his rock voice. Loved that voice.
He was great. He was great.
Amazing that just like something as silly as peroxide blonde hair and tells you the band's moving into a new phase, showing you a different vision of themselves. But it did, that's how much we know every last detail of this band is one look at that picture and you're like, something new's happening. And it made us excited. It made me excited. And I mean, I know that's, you know, it sounds like a teenager or something, but it was great. It was good times.
No, it was. It was very surprising. I have to say, I always thought it was very strange that the Car Jam, you know, bum 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 ba dum ba na 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 na. You know, that's on an Ace Frehley album, and you know, I always felt like they put that out, like they could have put a drum solo of his out, but I always felt like it was kind of strange that now Eric wrote the music, I guess. So I guess that was important to them to make sure that they put that out. But I always felt like it was maybe a slap at Ace.
Yeah. But if you're going to put out something unfinished, now that we know Eric had all these other songs that were, why not just grab one of those?
Yeah. I mean, there's
some good stuff in there.
There's a couple of posthumous solo records that are really cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Let's see. Number two for me is Lick It Up. I love that record and I'm sick of that song and you all know why. But it's a great record. Vinny's killer on it. And he's really killer on it. The only thing that I would change about Lick It Up is I wish they did a better cover. I mean, it's a cool cover, but I always thought it was a little too plain, you know, and I don't know. That's just me.
I don't mind that cover at all. My number two, you guys are nuts. Unplugged. Dude, I still go back to it. I can watch the video. I can listen to it on CD if it pops up on Shuffle. Dude, just coming home alone. Well, it's just like, oh my God. And Sure Knows Something and I Still Love You on that. Oh my God. Come on, dude. Like
awesome. Sure Knows Something. Coming Home is amazing. I'm over I Still Love You because, you know, it's one of those, that's the song everybody goes to. You got to hear Paul sing this song. If you guys have never seen, there's a video on YouTube of a professional vocal teacher watching Paul sing that song, and she's blown away by him. If there's anybody out there that thinks Paul's average singing, watch this chick react to Paul singing that on Unplugged. She's blown away. To each his own, I guess.
I personally think Paul is untouchable from like 77 to like 91. He is untouchable by most. And some of the stuff he was doing, you know, obviously I don't think he was thinking he'd be worried about it in 2022.
But right. Took it a little too far.
Yeah.
He hurt himself.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this though. I don't think that I've ever read. Have we ever read what was wrong with his throat? Have we ever read what was really wrong with his throat? I always wonder, and I know that some people aren't going to want to hear this, but I always wonder, did he hurt himself or was it something worse? Was it something like a throat polyp or throat cancer or something like that, that, you know, he went in? Because now I will tell you that I remember listening to an interview, and if anybody out there did the interview and they're listening to this show and I don't remember who did the interview, I'm sorry, but it was like Mark Slaughter, I think, said they went to the same doctor and he felt Paul came out and sang too soon and that hurt him. But I always wait to hear the truth behind what happened with Paul's voice. Maybe he doesn't want anybody to know that he had a bigger problem, you know, and that's not impossible. I'm probably 100% wrong, but I don't know. It just seems to me like with Paul in his voice, if a doctor would have come in and said, we can fix your voice, but you can't sing until here, he would have done that. Agree or?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So number
two for Brent.
Number two for Brent. Yeah.
Okay. So probably along with everything else I've said tonight, bring on the hate. Literally bring on the hate, because I have Carnival of Souls as number two. I'm just, Sonny can't even bother to react to this. I love the heavier, grungy feeling. I echo a lot of what Joe said. But look, for me, what I get when Kiss is just trying to, would just keep doing the same thing over and over, I get bored. And I love the albums. I'm not saying it's a perfect record or it's the greatest or anything, but when they stretch themselves and challenge themselves and do something different, whether it's Carnival or Revenge or trying to go power pop with Unmasked or go disco with Dynasty, or I love the gems that kind of fumbling tension produces, or even Destroyer. Destroyer is a product of like take you out of your element and try and get you to stretch and do something really different. And to me, that's when Kiss makes something that I love. It's when it's like, okay, this is, you know, the third 80s pop metal record. I'm just like, I'm sorry, these might be good songs, but I'm bored. So I love Carnival. And, you know, Bruce got a song, and that's great because he deserved one. And he deserved a song. I'm going to say it's a great song. Okay, Sonny. But anyway, I like it. It's my number two out of all of these. So
I think I'm very surprised by that. But I will tell you, I mean, to me, it's awesome, man. I love every song. I love the drumming on it. One has to wonder. I don't know if all these stories are true or not or whatever, but you have to wonder if the story is true that like Bruce and Eric were kind of left to finish the album. And yeah, maybe that's why to me it sounds so great, is because, you know, it's from a different view rather than the Paul Stanley view, which isn't terrible. It's just,
no, but I think so, that's probably a huge part of it is that Kiss kind of were off, Paul and Gene were looking up the other direction when they finished that record. And but even Gene's songs, they're totally different than his other material. There's this, you know, storytelling, psychedelic bridges in them. I just, it's so different. I love it. Connects with me. So
you guys that are listening only, you should be, see the faces Sonny is making.
Oh yeah. He's just, he's not angry. He's just incredulous. He's like, I'm on the show with the stupidest person in the world.
I don't think he thinks that. All right, number one for me. All right, so I'm going to obviously you guys know it's Asylum because there's nothing else left. But for me, number one is Asylum. I will tell you that when I think about this record being out and I think about where I was in life when it came out, I had just moved to Georgia. I was not happy about it. My mom was doing everything she could to try to cheer me up, you know, that I had just left my hometown. When I think about where I was at that point and what was going on in the world of Joe at that point, I would give up everything I have to go there for a day, 2 days, just so I could re-see it, you know, because it was an amazing time, whether it was, you know, my parents still being alive and my mom getting me the record and then the tour coming through town. And she made sure that I went and saw it. And it was on a New Year's Eve, which to me, I didn't really understand the volume of seeing Kiss on New Year's Eve, but it was awesome, you know, or whether it was sitting with my girlfriend at the time, even like 6 months later, and the videos are still being played on MTV, in the countdown shows, you know, or, you know, the costumes didn't bother me because I was a homer, you know, I'm a Kiss fan, and I never looked at the costumes and thought, these are terrible. I remember thinking Gene's hair wasn't that great. But I never was, I mean, it was a sign of the time. This is the way it was. So it didn't seem weird. You know, it was just Kiss being flashy, you know, but if I could go back and just, when I put that album on, I can close my eyes and know exactly where I was the first time I put the needle down, you know, and listened to it and looked at it and still, it's very strange and maybe a little embarrassing that I never realized, like, it never occurred to me how they put the green lipstick on Eric and the blue on Bruce. And I know I saw it, but it never affected me the way it does some people where they're like, that's Peter's color and Ace's color. It didn't affect me, you know. I remember flipping over the record and the picture on the back was great. And I was a little disappointed that there wasn't a poster or something inside. I really wish they'd have done that, you know, but Asylum musically for me from beginning to end is awesome. And I, like I said, I listened to it today and I love that record. The beginning really gets you going. It's one of those things where Eric Carr just comes in and punches you right in the face. And the minute he starts playing, it's not, you know, him starting a record is one of those really great things. I think he does it a couple of times, you know, where his drumming comes in before the guitars and everything else come in. And it's just awesome, man. It's just awesome. Sonny?
My number one is Asylum, just because it's my favorite record. It's the first time I saw them live. And, you know, if you think about it, we never talk about this, but Gene, you know, whether he was comfortable with what he was wearing, who knows. But if you think about Paul, going with the animal print in 84, going with the fluorescent in 85, and then going with the blue thong in 87, I think Paul probably felt the best the way he was dressed. That 3-4 years, he probably felt like himself because it was flamboyant.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, I'm not sure he loved the leather and all that kind of stuff when they got to Revenge. But you know, that's just an opinion. But that you just, I mean, it was my junior year. It lasted my senior year because it lasted all of 86. I mean, it was just the timing of the record was perfect for it lasted the 2 years that it needed to. While I was listening to the Cinderellas and the Rats and the Bon Jovis and all those guys, the Kiss fit right in with all of that. So I go back to Asylum constantly. And I love Radar for Love. Everybody hates Radar for Love. I don't know why they hate it. I love it. So
yeah, that's a good question. Brent, last one.
My favorite non-makeup record is a record recorded as a makeup record. Lick It Up. Just the content is so killer. You guys know I love Vinny, and that's his record, you know. And you love to pull that patch I gave you out.
I keep it right here.
Sitting there on your desk. Vinny to just Vincent remind invasion. Joe every day that I love Vinny. So yes, there, yeah, for me, that's the obvious choice. It didn't fulfill the promise that Creatures delivered, because Creatures is a better record to me, but it's a good follow-up. And I loved it, and it was the last record I loved for a while, as you guys see by these rankings. I like those other records, but I don't love them the way I love this record. And you guys know I also don't know those other records just note for note, just engraved in my soul like this one is, because I just didn't listen to them constantly like it did for this one. So that is my number one.
It's really interesting to hear, you know, how the order that we put these in. And I think that as we get to the records that, okay, they have bigger personal things going on than just the music. Does that make sense? It's like.
Absolutely. The story you just finished telling is number one, why Kiss fans are so great, because we all have those. So, you didn't even say anything about the record. It was all about your life and how it was all woven together and what was happening with you. And Sonny, so much in the same way of the impact that Asylum had on both of you. It's the music is part of it, but it's only part of it. And when you love something, that's kind of the way it is, right?
Yeah.
I remember being at the show, and I had not turned 17 yet. I had not turned 17 yet. And the show was Wasp and Kiss. And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so you don't have to look good. You don't have to be a good-looking guy, because Blackie was up there. You don't have to be Pavarotti, because neither one of these guys are Pavarotti. But, oh, my God, rock brings out women. And I remember thinking that day, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Now, I didn't end up there, but I remember that I didn't want to be a cowboy when I was young, and I was already Indian, so I didn't technically want to be an Indian while I was young either. but
you didn't end up there, but you did all right, man.
Yeah, thanks. But you I remember getting that feeling going, oh my God, I'm actually in a place where I think I want to do this the rest of my life. And it took me to my senior year to figure it out. And then, you know, it took me a year in after that to go, oh, yeah, I'm not very good, so I can't do that. But I'm prettier than Blackie.
You are, Sonny. If I was, like, at gunpoint and I had to pick one of you to do, it would be you all the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. Wow. But you're catching. Let's see. Yeah, I'm just saying, you guys out there, I'd love to hear your stories. Podcast RockCity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. Send us your picks. Take the TED records, put them in order. And I mean, if you guys that are listening now haven't done that yet, or you want to, go to our Facebook page. I listed everything out there but Hot in the Shade. If you want to add Hot in the Shade, go right ahead and put them in order. It's very interesting. Everybody on our Facebook page goes and looks at these things. It's amazing. You could post, hey, we're going to be doing something on the show tonight, and you'll get 1,000 people that'll click on it. But you post, hey, what's your opinion on this? Forget it. 10,000 people want to give us their opinion on that. And those are the things that make it amazing. Like I said, next week, as far as I know, I will not be here next week. But Brent and Sonny and Joey will hold down the fort. We're going to go now to do our after the show, patreon.com/podcastrockcity. Check that out. It's a lot of fun for us. And the people that are patrons, they comment on it all the time. They really enjoy it. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Two things. First, I think Billy Lim asked about Hendrix and the Alice Cooper thing behind me. I painted those on Mork. That's where those are from. And then I think I threw some people on the Facebook post because people were putting their numbers in commas, right? And I couldn't help myself. So I had to put 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9. Had to. 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9.
Oh, I just so got like, that.
So people are like, what's the zero record? I'm like, well, it must be Carnival of Souls, I guess.
would be. You know, Brent's second favorite of the 10 is my zero.
Yes.
That's
great. Brent, you have anything to add?
You know, to anyone who was offended by my picks or what I had to say about them, we just look at it this way. We both love the same band. We love different stuff for different reasons, but we love the same band. So we're brothers anyway.
Yeah, Brent, hey, Sonny, out of all of us, Brent's the politician, isn't he?
Yeah, because I would have said, if anybody's offended by my rankings, too bad.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, Brent still may try to be president at some point.
Let's bring us all together. Let's bring us all together.
Can you see him in the Oval Office sitting in that chair?
No.
Cigar in hand, right?
Yes.
Cigar in hand.
Yes. Yikes. You guys know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts, and we love KISS podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.